This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi. Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. It's been a while since we met. Maybe I should just tell you what the motivation was in choosing this particular topic. The last 3 days of Ramadan, I've added some more to the caption, which you can read about humility and pride. But the question I've been asking me the whole of Muharram is, we have so many priorities in life nowadays. We have the COVID as a priority. We have the cold as another priority. We have the rain, we have all these priorities, you know, people are not well, people are not working, etc., etc. How do I motivate myself, first of all? And how then can I motivate you to make the best of the last 3 days of Muharram? Today is Sunday, we're all relaxing. We're not thinking maybe of the last 3 days of Muharram. It'll be tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday. And what did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say about the month of Muharram? The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the best of fasting after the month of Ramadan. The best of fasting. Now we know the month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan, subhanAllah, the rewards are totally, absolutely endless. Allah says, أَصِّيَامُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِيبِ. Allah describes the fasting of Ramadan and Allah says, fasting is for me and I reward the person who fasts. In other words, it's a secret. Allah keeps it a total secret. You'll only know what you've earned by fasting in the month of Ramadan when I see you. Like we say to each other, you know, I'll tell you when I see you, man. You know, I have to tell you this when I see you. I can't speak to you on the phone. Can't tell you on the phone. Can't send you an email. Can't send you an SMS. No, I have to speak to you in person. Subhanallah. Now, that is somewhat of an honor. Somebody says, no, I have to see you, speak to you in person. Or it's a message, beautiful message I have for you, but I have to see it. Or I've got a present for you. I'm not going to post it. No, I'm going to come to you and give it to you in your hand. MashaAllah. So Allah is saying the same about fasting in the month of Ramadan. Allah says, when you come to me, when I meet you, I will look at you and I will bestow upon you a gift. SubhanAllah. And we know Allah's gifts, Allah's creator of the universe, you know, his gifts are mind-boggling. We don't know what it will be. All we want, Ya Allah, is, Ya Rab, is to give us the Jannah. So, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the best of fasting after the month of Ramadan is to fast in the month of Allah. Muharram is called Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have, after Ramadan, this is the best month to fast in. Alhamdulillah, all of us who could fasted on the 10th of Muharram by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give you the reward, may Allah give me the reward, give all of the Muslimin their special rewards for fasting the 10th of Ramadan, above the 10th of Muharram. And I want you to remember that this fasting is the only thing required on the 10th of Muharram and on any other day. On any other day that we fast outside the month of Ramadan, there are no other strings attached to it. People say, oh, if you look after your family or give them gifts on that day, then, you know, for the whole year, etc., etc., etc. These are all additions that came after the Sahaba and after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All the Prophet said was, you fast on this day. That's all. you fast. And when the Prophet fasted on a Monday, they asked him, why is he fasting on a Monday? And he said, because I was born on a Monday. If there was such a thing as a celebration, he would have celebrated. But fasting is not a celebration. Fasting is an ibadah. So there's another reason that the Prophet ﷺ fasted on that day. And so similarly for us, when we fast, for example, if Nabi ﷺ says fast in the month of Muharram, why do we fast? That's an important question. The important question is, what should motivate? I know how to fast. I fast the whole month of Ramadan. We all fast the whole month of Ramadan. But why fast? Why fast in the first place? What does fasting do for us? Does fasting have a special role in our lives? Let's look at the five pillars of Islam. The five pillars of Islam gives one message. Because I was sitting and thinking and contemplating and thinking for quite a few days now as to what I'm going to say. The five pillars of Islam actually has only one direction and one theme and one objective. Let's see what it is. First is the kalima. La ilaha illallah. What is the word we started with? We start with the word of negation in any language. There is no. Now it starts with the word. La means no. La means no. La negates everything. It's a term of negation. La ilaha illallah. And then we have the term of affirmation. Illallah except Allah. There is no ilah except Allah. What am I expressing? What is my objective for saying that? What is my reason for, why does Allah say I must say that? In order for me to show my humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. My humbleness, my humility, it must penetrate my heart to make me humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It must inspire humility. Subhanallah. I, Faiq, or Muhammad, or whoever, Khadija, or Fatima. For me, there is nothing illallah. There's no ilah illallah. I worship none except Allah. Second, the salah. What do we do when we make salah? We hit ground zero. Ground zero. You can't go further down than that. That is the lowest point that a man can go down to. Tip his forehead on the ground. If your forehead is on the ground, there's only one way you can go. Up. So by going down, only one way you can go. You can only go up. You can't go further down. And up here means many things. It's going to Jannah. It means Allah exalts you. When you exalt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you show humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah do? Allah exalts you. Allah raises you up. There are 10 verses in the Quran that talks about how Allah exalts the one who humbles himself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, there is no dua to say, Ya Allah, make me humble. There's no such a dua. Why not? We ask for everything, for taqwa, for jannah, for ask Allah for everything, make dua, ask Allah. But there's no dua that I've come across, but maybe we can, to say, oh Allah, make me humble. Why not? Because that is something which you must do. You must develop your own humility. Because humility is something in here, in your heart, which you must cultivate yourself. Number three, we fast. We fast. And today we'll be talking particularly about fasting. When we're connected with the salah. And finally, we go for Hajj. So it is quite obvious that fasting, sorry, maaf, and zakah, and then hajj. If we look at salah, we say ground zero. That's being totally humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fasting, we'll get to the explanation of that. But that's also a expression of humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zakah, again, the rich man has to take his zakah to the poor man. It humbles the richest people in the world. They have to take it to a wealth organization, or they have to send it, or they have to personally, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time, you had to take it yourself personally. Stop the man in the street, give it to him. Hop in the masjid and give it to him. And finally, Hajj. Hajj is the equalizer, the humility equalizer. Because there, no matter who you are, what you are, you can be the king of Saudi Arabia or the king of a whatever country, a prime minister or president. You will come in exactly the same clothing as the person who sweeps the street in front of your house in your country. Complete equalizer, complete humility in front, in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Allah comes down on that day and looks down on Arafah, looks down at the world, particularly the people of Arafah, and say, oh my angels, look at my creation, look at them. Look at them standing here in their two pieces of cloth. I have forgiven them all their sins, big and small. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our sins, big and small, if we humble ourselves. So, what is the purpose of fasting then? If we want to become motivated. We've seen now that the motivation and the purpose of the four other arkan of Islam is to develop humility. And I'm saying this, you must now think about it. You must, after the lecture or tonight when you lie in bed, think about the five pillars. And think about, does it inspire only humility? There may be other things that you can think about. For me, now in this talk, it inspires humility. Fasting is one of Allah's appointed ways in which we can humble ourselves. Allah has appointed this way. This is not from going to a yoga class or going to humility classes. No. This is a direct message or a direct instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as how to humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what is the barrier between us and Allah? Why is it that we pray sometimes, you know, we make dua, but you know, somehow, you know, we feel that our du'as are not being accepted. And some people ask things which they never think they will ever get. Well, Allah will never answer, and Allah answers this, their prayer. And there are some people whose prayers, all their prayers, Allah answers. So what is the key to a response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you make salah? Is salah all that is required for your du'as to be accepted? No. If it was so, then why would you have to fast? Why would you have to give zakah? Because you could just make salah and all your dreams will come true. No. Islam is a holistic five. Everyone has, the essence of it is humility. So, what is the barrier between us and Allah? In other words, why does Allah not accept our du'as or some of our du'as? What is Allah? Sometimes we feel that, you know, we have it so bad that we ask, where is Allah? Why is Allah doing this? Why is Allah doing that? We get to that point. People are so depressed in this time of COVID, and they blame it on Allah, you know. Maybe not Muslims, but non-Muslims. They say openly, you know, why did God create this virus? If he says he loves us, why did he create this virus? Because we do not understand that we will understand if we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole structure and intention of people today, whether they're Christians or Jews or Muslims, they all try and create vehicles for them to get closer to God. New vehicles. They try and discover things. And if you ask them, why are you doing this? They'll say, well, all we want to do is we're going to get close to Allah. We want Allah to love us. We want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not realizing that the more things they create, which Allah did not create for them, the further they will move away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a child or your employee. If you tell him to do something this way, and he continuously invent new thing, new ways to do that thing which you tell him to do, eventually you'll fire him. And if you tell your child to do a thing like this, every single day tell him, Muhammad, do it like this, my child, I say do it. And he never wants to do it the way he wants to do it, the way he wants to do it. Eventually you get angry as a father, you give him a hiding. Same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, O Muslimin, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa qudu an-nasu wal hijara. Many, many instructions. But we come along and we say, by doing that, by inventing our own way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will get closer to Allah. No. Why not? Because if you want to replace something which Allah has commanded you, or his prophet has commanded you, or not commanded you, what are you doing? You're showing kibr, the opposite of humility. Pride. And what do they say? Pride comes before a fall. Pride. And what is one of the main functions of the five pillars? It is to remove pride from the hearts of the Muslims. To remove pride from the heart of every single Muslim. Because it is pride that deprives us of the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing this. Why can't I do it this way? As far as I'm concerned, I'm doing good, doing a good thing. Really? You invented this good thing? After 124,000 prophets Allah sent and so many books, you come along in the 21st century and you say, Ya Allah, I feel I want to do it this way, you know. I want to switch the light off. I want to switch the light on. I want to lie down. I want to wear this. I want to wear that. Isn't it? That's what we do. And I always say to people, you know, the Prophet ﷺ didn't come to bring us a new fashion also. That we must wear every day and the whole day. No. The clothes that the Prophet wore, everybody wore in his time. If the Prophet had to go to the market in Medina in his time and you didn't know him, you'd think he's just somebody in the marketplace. Because they all dress exactly the same. So some people see me, for example, I never wear a thobe going to the supermarket or going. I only wear it when I feel I should wear it. And many people have asked me about this. So, Sheikh, we see you, you know, mashallah, you know, suit on, you know. I said, because, you know, if I wear a thobe and I wear a turban in public, then I will become proud of myself. You say, mashallah, it's a great sheikh, you know, mashallah, he's got a scarf around his neck, he's got... So, the purpose of Islam is to cultivate humility. So we should do everything that will cultivate that humility. And if you cultivate that humility, Allah will raise you up. He will exalt you. If you become, if you're humble in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and humble in front of mankind, Allah will raise you and exalt you. And we know that the first demonstration of pride happened where? First demonstration of pride happened where? It happened in heaven, in Jannah. in the history of the universe, the first place that somebody displayed pride was in Jannah. And he was an angel. He was an angel. And what happened to him? By displaying that pride, he became the worst. Allah took him out of that station, took that status away from him, just because he said, "Ana khayrun min," I am better than Adam. That's all. خَلَقَتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. You created him from clay and you created me from fire. I'm better than him. One sentence. Cursed. Allah cursed him. An angel. What about us? On the dunya. If we should say that, "Oh, I'm better than him. Oh, I'm smarter than him. Oh, I know more than him." It's pride. "Oh, I got more money than him. Oh, I got a better car than him. Oh, I look better than him." We must watch ourselves. Because that is the example that we should not. That is the example. That is the first example of sin. To be proud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, inshallah, from displaying any signs of pride in our behavior. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we need to cultivate humility in ourselves. Allah doesn't want to give it to us. How do we know how to cultivate that humility? We know it by the example of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Isa alayhi salam is reported to have said to his disciples, "When you go to a banquet," Nabi Isa said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "don't select the head of the table to go and sit at. Go to a function, you know, we've got lots of functions, but not nowadays anymore. But in normal times, we go to weddings, we go here, we go there." Isa said to his disciples, "Don't take the head of the table. Go to the furthest place to sit when you go to a banquet." Why? He says, because if you sit at the head of the table, you're going to humiliate yourself. Because somebody will come to you and say, "Sir, sorry, you can't sit here. This is for the speaker, or this is for the bridegroom, or this is for the father of the bride," or whoever it may be. And you feel bad. So, if you sit there at the bottom, the only way you can go is to go up. If you're right at the bottom, you can only go up. But if you're at the top or in the middle, you can fall down. There is a poem, a short poem, I just want to read it. "He that is down need no fall. He that is down, he can't fall, because it's already down. He that is low already has no pride. He that is humble has Allah to be his guide." Allah guides those who are humble. So one of the prime character traits of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his humility. Absolute humility. So when you're on the floor, you're okay, you're safe. There's no lower, you can't go any lower. Like in Salah. When you eat down on your head, you are absolutely in safe hands. Now you're in contact with your Creator. That's it. In contact with He who created the heavens and the earth. So humility then is an essential requirement and ingredient of effective prayers. If you want your du'as to be answered, become a humble person. Many people pray, but they're not humble. And develop it in here. This is not important. "Inna Allah la yanzur ila suwarikum wa la ila ajsamikum, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa amalikum." Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah does not look at what you look like. Allah does not look at your height, your weight, your color, your dress. No. "Walakin yanzuru ila أعمالكم وقلوبكم. Allah looks at your heart and Allah looks at your deeds. So, if you have any pride, من كان في قلبي, Prophet ﷺ said, he who has an atom of pride, مِتْقَالَ غَرَةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ فِي قَلْبِهِ لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. If you have an atom of pride in your heart, you will not enter Jannah. Not enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that. And as I said, if you are humble on this dunya, in the akhirah, everything will be at your service. Humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ad-Dahr, وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا. Surah Ad-Dahr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when you're in Jannah, the bunches, this is a physical example of how things in the Akhirah will be humble to you because of your humility you had in the dunya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us, inshallah, that we cultivate this humility. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the bundles of fruit that is hanging on the trees in the Jannah will hang low in humbleness to you. Wallah, subhanAllah, to think about it. The shade will be over you. They protect, there'll be shade over you. And the fruits of the trees will come down like that and come to your hand so that you can pick it. Don't have to stretch your arm. Imagine even the fruit will be humble to you. So if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remove the pride in your heart. With pride, there is no access. No access. No access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doors are all closed. And what is the greatest humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we fast, it is one of the God-given Allah's ways of testing our humility. By fasting, we humble our souls. The life that is in us, the ruh which Allah has given us. When we fast, we humble our souls. Because fasting is internal only. And the soul is inside your body. Salah you can see somebody make. Everything else is outside. But fasting is, it touches the core of you as a person, which is your ruh. And the ruh has three main functions. The ruh has three main functions. One, the will, the intellect, and the emotion. Consists of three things. Will, intellect, and emotion. And these things can be expressed in three phrases. One, how do you express your will? By the words, I want. All of us have children. How do they express their will? I want that. No, I don't want that one. No, I want that one. And we get bigger. No, I don't want that car, I want that car. I want this and I want that. And intellect, the other prime component of the soul. How is that expressed by us? You tell people, I can think for myself. I think. I've got intellect. I think. And today that is, subhanAllah, if I talk to young people, that's what they tell you. I have a right to think. I have a right to disagree with you, and I have a right to think, and I have a right to think what I want to think, and to follow whatever I wish I want to follow. And thirdly, the content of emotion that is part of your soul. How do you express that? By saying, I can feel. Somebody asks you, say, yeah, I love that. Well, I don't like that. That's how you express yourself. Your will, as part of your soul, you say, I want. Your intellect, I think. And you feel that is enough. You have a right to think what you want to think. And third, you have a right to feel what you want to feel. By Allah, but what is by Allah? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consider to be important? What you want is not important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah can give you the universe. What you want is not important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you think is also not important for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How you feel is not important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is important to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my will is the most important thing to you. So, how is Islam defined? How is a Muslim defined? How would you define a Muslim? He or she who submits themselves to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your emotions, if you subject your emotions to the will of Allah, your thoughts to the will of Allah, what you want to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is Islam. That's what the word Islam means, to submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you fast, just inside, you are most sincere, at your most sincere in humbling yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a man who heard this talk about fasting. Now we know there's fasting that's followed in Islam, there's fasting that's not followed in Islam. So we had a lecture about somebody like me speaking about fasting the last 3 days of, or 1 day or 2 days of the month of Muharram to gain this great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially people of my age, we don't think like that. We think, am I going to be still alive next year? That is our choice that we have to make, which is not really a choice to make. So if you're healthy enough, you should fast. So there was this man, he listened to the lecture, he was a lawyer. And he said to himself, I'm going to fast tomorrow. So he fasted. And he had the most miserable day of his life. He every time he walked past the restaurant on his way to the courtroom or whatever, and he smells the food and then he feels good. Or you walks past a cake shop and you look in the window and look at the cakes, and you need to wait, of course, for Bukhar time. So when Bukhar time came, he spoke to his stomach. The first time he made sunnah fast, he spoke to his stomach. He said to his stomach, now stomach, you've made a lot of trouble for me today. You deprive me of food, deprive me of drink. You have given me a lot of trouble, unnecessary discomfort. I was very uncomfortable today. And he spoke to his stomach. He said to his stomach, for that, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you for that. You punish me the whole day, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you by fasting tomorrow as well. I'm going to deprive you tomorrow also of food. And that is how we humble our soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We humble our soul. By fasting, we humble our soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The stomach is a very good servant, isn't it? Very good servant. Whatever you want to put in there, the stomach doesn't say no. It serves you well. All your tastes and what you want to eat and don't want to eat, stomach accepts it. But a terrible master. If your stomach is in charge, ask people who can only eat certain foods. Stomach is in charge. Doctor said, no, I can't eat that. Doctor said, no, I can't eat that. I can't drink that. Can't do this. So when the stomach is master, he's a terrible master. I ask you, who is your master? I ask myself, who is my master? Am I my master? Is my soul on this dunya, my master, that directs my body and my intellect? Or is my stomach my boss? If there is nothing wrong with me, I've got no comorbidities, and I can fast the next 3 days, then we should all fast these 3 days. Why? Because we are showing the humility of our soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not showing that we govern by our stomach. It's a very bad way of showing anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting is a special way of showing humility. Because only you can show it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is your reward? When you show humility, Allah exalts you. Your reward is exaltation. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us, inshallah, for those of us who are thinking about the last 3 days, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give, inshallah, that those of us who can fast all 3 days, let us fast all 3 days. For those of us who can fast only tomorrow, which is a good day, Monday, mashallah, fast on Monday. Those of us who can fast 2 days and think about the lecture about this is a special kind of humility we're showing to Allah. It's humility of the soul. It is where we submit our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to say again, and I did last time, that I was very busy and I now published, inshallah, alhamdulillah, my book, which is, the name of the book is When Jurists Differ. Jurists, ulama, when they differ, what is the advice to the man in the street? How does the Sharia advise an ordinary person? How should he treat all the differences of opinion, Shafi, Hanafi, Maliki, and all the other differences? How does he reconcile it in himself, for himself? Because remember, Dev Qiyamah, you can't say, I followed Imam Shafi. No. Allah said, I didn't send Imam Shafi to you. I sent the Prophet to you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shafi'i was a scholar of the scholars. Whatever he told you, you should have made sure that that was the correct view, because he tells you that if there's a hadith which is better than my mother, throw the hadith against the wall. Mine, throw my hadith that I have, if it's weak, throw it against the wall and go and follow the strong hadith. So the book is ready. If you wish to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send out WhatsApps to all the people that listen to the lectures and my students, inshallah. Give them a synopsis of the book. It is the only translation of a manuscript from Arabic to English written by an indigenous Arabic scholar. In other words, East Africa, West Africa, and Central Africa. Those are all indigenous Muslims. We used to call them black Muslims. This is the first manuscript that's been translated from a person, a Mauritanian scholar who wrote in Arabic first, and there are about 70,000 manuscripts that were written. This is the first one translated into English, both in East Africa and West Africa. This alim that wrote this manuscript is a Mauritanian scholar. So this is not only a book, it's also an historic book, being the first translation from Arabic into English of an African scholar's writing. And because we all live in Africa, so it's more of a reference, because but it deals with the finer points of what is a madhab, you know. Can an ordinary person say what Omar did this, so I'm going to follow Omar, or Omar did that, Abu Bakr did that? What can I do and what can't I do as an ordinary Muslim? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that tomorrow comes, and Tuesday and Wednesday, may Allah give us the strength to carry through the day. May Allah give us also the insight and the inspiration to think about what I've said about humility and pride. Wallahu ta'ala alam, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.